Okay, item four is a subdivision and rezoning at 361 Burnell Street under file DASZ56/2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item five is a variance at 361 Burnell Street under file DAV101277/2014D.
Okay, we'll start with the applicant, Brett McLaren, and if you can, the other gentleman here, if you can
Alan
introduce.
Alan Roberts.
Alan Roberts, thank you. And you have 10 minutes, if you can keep it under that, that would be good.
Give me 1 second, I just put the clock on.
They have a Mac adapter, they said there was going to be one.
They said there was going to be a Mac adapter here.
Yep, there is, sorry. Yeah, he's asking for it.
We won't start your clock or anything.
You have a different Mac adapter? I don't think this. That's more for iPad, but.
Got a bag of goodies.
Yeah, there it
is.
Will that one work? No, it's different. See the phone? This one should work.
See if it works. I don't know if that's the right spot.
It doesn't feel. We'll try this one.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And how do we get it up here?
Start anytime.
Okay. Yeah, whenever you're ready.
My name is Alan Roberts. Brett McLaren here is my partner in M&R Developments that is the proponent of this project. it is a residential condominium project on Burnell Street for construction of up to 34 units, condo units, at 361 Burnell. Our project started initially with would be 359 Burnell, numbers 5 and 6 there, being the largest lot in the area, 50 by roughly 150 feet, and we were unable to identify a project that was worth building on that size of lot because of parking constraints, zoning constraints, and so on. And we resolved on addressing a larger area, spoke or negotiated with our neighbor to the north, and have reached an agreement to develop the two properties, providing we get acceptance from this committee, making the site essentially 90 feet wide by 150 feet approximately in depth. That size gives us enough of a building area to produce what we believe will be economical condominiums, economical living space, in an area that really has no modern condominium buildings, developments anywhere in the Daniel McIntyre or St. Matthews communities. This will provide some needed housing density in the area that has been losing density for quite a number of years now. It's apparently down about 27-28% in population since about 1975. I'm going to try and be brief, I think, because my voice isn't going to last. The condominium is essentially a five-story development. And in plan area is 64 feet wide out of the 90 feet, so that gives us 13 feet on either side, setback from the property line. It's 120 feet in length, which gives us a 25-foot rear setback, which is in conformity with the zoning constraints that we're after. The front is not in conformity, but with the setback, the 25-foot setback, but it is in conformity with the alignment of the buildings on both sides of it. So the front actually setback is varies from 2 feet on the southerly end and is set back farther. I think it's about 12 feet on the northerly side of the building at grade. The upper level of the building just goes straight across at the 2 feet setback. So the portion of the building that's on the grade level is the lobby and mechanical services entry only. The rest of the property is parking. That was our biggest constraint in coming up with a developable lot that had enough area to provide developable parking at a reasonable cost. We found underground parking to be just too expensive for this area and for this size of condominium. and yet this combination works really quite well. We're quite comfortable with the development that we're working with here. The next slide. The elevations. This is the south elevation on the bottom side here. That'll be the west elevation on the upper side, and the west elevation faces Burnell. The south elevation faces the two condos immediately to the south side of it. And if you want to flip. Show this one here. The reason that I've shown this one is that the balconies that we have planned have been distributed on this elevation with the existing condos, and these two are the two existing condos, condo buildings in mind. So that this is the one set of balconies here, and this is the other set of balconies here. So it gives you, it denies direct sight lines between one building and the other for the majority of the window space. The other smaller windows are just shown at random at this point, and the final positioning of them hasn't been established. But the major windows, which are at the balconies, have all been aligned to, not to face directly into the existing condominium buildings. You should. The other thing to take note on this particular elevation is the clearances between the buildings. This is difficult to read here, but this is 23 feet of separation between the two existing condos, and you'll find that the separation between the existing condo, actually both of them, and the new proposed condo building is 22 feet, adding the two areas together. So the distance between the two existing ones is approximately the same as the distance between the existing ones and the new condominium building. in both directions. So hopefully it gives it a feel, if you will, or a perspective that is not out of line with the what they've become accustomed to already. That was the objective, and I think we've achieved it. Next slide. This is the rear elevation, and I'd say rear by it means the east elevation, or east end of the building. It's the southern southern face that you're looking at, but the sight line is the 45 degree angle, looking up from the east side of the back lane, and regressing at a 45 degree slope, so that you've got a 45 degree sight line up past the upper levels of the proposed development. this is not a requirement, it's a strong recommendation of the cities, and we have no problem conforming with that. So makes the building look better. and only cost us a small amount of square footage. The back lane, the setback, you can see on the dimensional here is 25 feet, and the garbage storage is at the rear of the property. It has not been laid out definitively as yet. We've got to relate to a garbage collector in terms of the constraints. The problem that we're dealing with mainly is the 16-foot back lane. It doesn't allow much in the way of turning space for a large truck. So either they'll have to use a smaller truck to be able to turn to get in to pick it up, or we'll have to put wheels under smaller garbage containers, one or the other. It's a difficult situation regardless of how it's configured, but I'm sure we'll be able to work out something that's reasonably acceptable to all parties concerned here.
I guess you okay?
Yeah. At least there will be. These are renderings that we've had prepared of the. We've had prepared that Brett has prepared for the new building. It's kind of obvious, I think, which is the new building. It's the one in the middle. We're going to be making an effort to maintain a similar texture and color in the lower level of the new development, in the lower level of the building. And the upper level will be lighter in color, basically just to make it recede into the distance. It's less obvious, less imposing if it's a lighter color. and it blends in well with the existing condominiums on the south side. It's also relatively in scale with the church on the north side there in purple. The church is approximately 45 feet high. The proposed condominium here is, it's 55 feet to the top of the residential level.
I'm just wondering, we can give you a bit more time if you need it. There is not anyone here in opposition at this point.
Well, so, I just
but
you want to
hear it, but if you could, would it take a couple more minutes or
pretty close? That would be about all.
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
The building is fairly straightforward with the parking on the main level, four levels of condominiums with the service elevator and stairs on the west end, second set of stairs on the east end. And the top level, we're proposing using an inverted roof to permit essentially an outdoor garden space type environment or patio area on the roof. The two public amenities for the residents would be one would be an exercise room that through the winter and entertainment space through the summer, The other would be a meeting room through the winter and entertainment space through the summer. The rest of the roof we're hoping to use as much as possible for storage so that the residents will be able to access storage rooms on the roof. And that together with the garden spaces. That's essentially the scope of the basic description of the project. We can provide greater detail if you wish or need in mechanical or other areas.
Any questions for them at this point? Okay,
thank you. I've gone down, I've looked at the place there. It seems to me a good proposal for there.
Okay, we'll have a chance to come back if there's anything to rebut to, and thank you very much. Pardon me?
There's no opposition.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people registered. I'm just going to go through. So other people, I have a number of people listed in support, and I'll call your names if you wish to come up and add anything. Please let me know. Christian Cassidy, you wish to add something? Okay, come on up.
Hello, councillors. My name is Christian Cassidy. I'm the Community Housing and Small Grants Coordinator for the Daniel McIntyre St. Matthews Community Association. And back on February the 4th, 2014, Mr. McLaren came to visit our housing committee to make a presentation, this exact presentation, to our committee, which was a week before having a community open house at Oriel's Community Center. Our housing committee is in support of this project as presented to us. The next step should have been that we had our board give a letter of approval for the project, but February's weather has played havoc with some of our meetings. We had to cancel a couple of them, so we're a little bit behind, but I did want to come and verbally say that we are in favor of it, and at probably in a couple of weeks we will have a letter of support that I can present to Mr. McLaren, and if we need to submit it.
Did you attend their community
meeting? Beg your pardon?
Did you attend their community meeting?
Yes, I did. Yes, yeah. And just briefly, the reason why the committee is in support of it, during the creation of DMSMCA's five-year housing action plan, residents of Daniel Mac and St. Matthews identified three main areas of concern relating to housing in their neighborhoods. The first was to create more housing. The second was to improve the stock of housing. And the third was the need to lower the cost of housing. This project certainly addresses the first two points by providing up to 34 newly constructed residential units in the St. Matthews neighborhood. It also increases the density of the neighborhood by reclaiming a long-time surface parking lot, while not adding to the parking congestion of existing residents in the area. In the drawings that were presented to us, it appears that attention has been paid to the existing neighborhood by respecting sight lines and the privacy of existing buildings. The only item that a couple of members of the committee mentioned that came up at the open house, and if I switch my hat as a guy who lives in that purple lot next to it, is the back lane entrance in and out of the parking lot is with that Wild Honey daycare on the other side. It's a zoo at rush hour in the morning because they have, I think, three parking lots and maybe 20 or 30 kids that come and go from there. The current access to the parking area is off of Brunel Street, as it is now. And I understand that the city's promoting it to be a back lane entrance. And just as a kind of an aside, it's not going to go into our official letter or opposition to it or anything, but when at rush hour, when you have, you know, 30 parents trying to pick up 30 kids with no parking, people double park on St. Paul. People park in the back lane two or three cars deep. There's an empty lot where a building used to be. People will off-road. It's a zoo. And if you're trying to have, you know, 20 or 30 parking stalls where people are going to have to come and go, especially at rush hours, it could be a bit of a nightmare. So just something that I want to throw in there. But The DMSMCA Housing Community Housing Committee is going to recommend that the DMSMCA board give a letter of approval for this. And like I said, my apologies that we're a couple of weeks behind the eight ball. So,
thanks a lot, Christian. Any questions?
No.
Thanks. Okay, I've got Nathan Dick. Did you wish to just be recorded in support?
In support, yeah.
Thank you. Nicholas Gettert, in support. Lisa Tetral, thank you. Paul Malloy,
in support.
Thank you. Mary Jo Fairs, thank you. Sorry. Kara McDonald, thank you. Joan Malloy. Okay. Anybody else who wishes to speak to this application in support? And is there anyone whose name has not been called who wishes to speak in opposition? No? That's good. Does the applicant want to respond to anything else? There wasn't really anybody in opposition. But you're welcome to come up. If you want to respond to anything that was said, you do have an opportunity. You don't have to. You, if you want to say something, just come on up, though. You can't talk from over there. But if you want to come up.
Well, I'm not. It's just there was.
Yes, you can't come up because he's not going to respond.
You don't have to speak.
I'm just saying unless you wanted to say something about that comment about the parking and the daycare.
Want to bring to your attention.
I could speak to it.
Okay, maybe we could have the planning department speak to that issue that was raised by the association.
The original application did propose parking to come off Grinnell. We looked at the opportunity to sort of create a more pedestrian realm fronting Grinnell. So we suggested that parking be taken off of the lane. After the open house, it was identified there were a number of concerns with access off the lane, and we felt that it was a reasonable request to take access off Grinnell. So the plans have since been changed to reflect access from
Okay. Grinnell. So that kind of addresses the concern that was raised there. Okay. So is there anything you want to add to rebut to what was said, which wasn't much? You're not really supposed to bring new information, just to respond to anything that was said at this point.
Yes, so. Okay. It would be new information. So.
Yeah. Well, I think we're fine. I think we've got the information.
Well, you may be, but I've got a couple of issues that I need to resolve with the planning department.
Okay, well, you'll have to do that afterwards with them. That would have been something to bring up, you know, to have a dialogue with them during this hearing. This is just to hear your application.
Yeah.
We have your application in front of you.
Yeah, it was
to the revised report.
We have a revised report. Okay, yeah. Maybe we can speak, before you do your rebuttal, we can speak to the planners about the revised report and just clarify what that's about. And then if there's something in there you want to rebut to, you've got it out there.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Actually, the only new addition to the report was that the servicing agreement that was attached, and that came in sort of last minute.
Yeah, we didn't. It addresses the servicing of the site in terms of the question to look at the water capacity and do a servicing study to make sure that the site can service that.
Okay. So, is this something that would have been discussed with the applicant before? Would they be aware of all this?
They're aware of it today.
It
was discussed before. You had discussed it before with Kim.
Right. Yes. The issue isn't so much the fact that we will be responsible for all the utilities that is expected. it was more the issue the fees that they can charge us would appear to be more than just regular permits. They want to be able to charge for what any charges cost come up or they incurred in the process of going through this development program. In other words, surveys, for example, I don't mind paying for a survey, but I'd rather engage that surveyor myself rather than pay for the city to do it after the fact.
The city's not going to do it.
Ah, okay. Well, that's...
It's you have to do it, yeah.
Yes. It just leaves the pocket wide open for you to charge whatever the hell you wish.
Well, trust me, the city doesn't...
Maybe we can get some clarification on that.
Yeah. The city doesn't get a surveyor or engineer or anything else. That's up to you to do.
Good. The only other thing was the height issue. The dimensions given in the drawings were approximate. The detailed design has not been done as yet. And the limitations that you put on are very approximately adequate, so long as they're looked on as being approximately correct. In other words, I think it's 55 feet to the top of the residential building. It might be 58.
That's a zoning issue.
Yeah, it would be part of the zoning agreement.
And the height of the amenity on the roof at an 8-foot ceiling height, glassed-in space on the roof is, in the summer, if it's being used as an entertainment room, is quite oppressive. I mean, it can be, unless your air conditioning is pretty phenomenal. Whereas adding a couple or 4 feet of height of space in that room makes it much more airy, much easier to get ventilation through there for comfort in the summer, and for use as a weight or you know an exercise room.
Okay, so those questions have to do with the variance, right?
Yes. So, well, we thought that we would attach a condition like we do with a lot of multifamily plans to restrict the height, and based on the plans that we had, which we would show 55 feet, we thought that that was reasonable. My understanding is that they do have the ability to apply for tolerance to give them a little bit of flexibility.
5%.
So in this case, yeah, about 2.25 feet. I don't know if that's enough.
5% in height is not unreasonable. I mean, that's workable.
I mean, it's something that could be either amended in the agreement today or applied for at a later date.
Okay.
Would it cost them? It would cost them to come and apply and everything again, though, or would it be something that could just be requested?
The tolerance is about $150 or something like that, and that's really where the flexibility is built in, because it allows for a little bit of leeway on top of what we're suggesting here.
So there is leeway, some leeway in
plus or minus.
It's not a hard constraint, okay?
But not big plus or minus.
5% is pretty tight. The only other thing is the setback from the building wall for the amenity again. this requires a 10-foot setback on a building that's 64 feet wide. 10 feet on both sides would leave only 40 feet, which provides for a hallway and so on as well. When we want to have two amenities, one on either side if possible, and some outdoor space and some storage space. And I'm wondering if that 10-foot could be reduced to 6 because of the proximity of,
Is that another variance?
It's not a variance. It was also part of the zoning agreement.
6 to 10 or 6 to...
So what part is this if we...
The reason we put the 10-foot setback, we felt that that would help sort of conceal the sight lines that mm-hmm. would sort of make it look like a 6-story building. I guess we're open to a little bit of flexibility as well if it allows for a more functional amenity space. We just wanted to be sure that we were addressing any of those sight line concerns. Potential... sightline concerns.
Would that come back at plan approval then, or
is that something that would have to be dealt with here, or something?
This is written into the zoning agreement. So
where is it in here? Just show me.
Item B, point two.
2.2B.
B.
B point two. Where am I looking at? I'm looking at the wrong thing. It's in the variance or in the?
Sorry, in the subdivision.
Subdivision.
Zoning.
Okay.
And the because it's on okay. Well, it's on the non-revised report on the line there.
Okay.
So
additional height will be allowed for any permitted projections as well as amenity rooftop uses.
Well, it's a suggestion of the administration. Should we add?
Should we make it a little more accommodating, or not? As you know, we just want to make sure we don't make it. It's difficult to do infill, and we don't want to make it onerous on these folks that are trying to do a challenging infill project.
Exactly. Yeah,
so I'm just wondering what kind of flexibility you could suggest that wouldn't, you know, be a detrimental to the neighborhood,
just to ensure that there was adequate screening, minimal impact, and we do have the condition of plan approval that would see it come back to the city center community.
They need that 6 feet instead of 10 back to be not plan approval?
I don't think so.
No, I would say give the flexibility now, and then we can address any design details.
So could we say a minimum of 6 feet instead of 10 at this point? Would you be comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm. Works for me.
Okay, so you got that, Destiny?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that sound okay, Harvey? All right. We just don't want to make it impossible for you guys. Anything further? Thank you. Councillor Smith, we've done with the delegations. If you want to move to the motion, move to the motions, please. On the subdivision and rezoning.
Be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carry.
Public representation be concluded.
All those in favor? Any opposed? Carried.